So how many were with us Sunday? Did we not have an amazing time Sunday? Praise God. I was reflecting back on it tonight, today when I was getting ready. And, you know, we've been teaching a lot on honor and revering and respecting the presence of God. It's been good, hasn't it? Just a good reminder for us of the importance of reverencing and honoring God's presence. The world, our society, is full of irreverence, and they're honoring things that are not of God. We've eliminated prayer out of the schools for temporarily. I believe it's being replaced. Amen. But there's some things that's moving in the spirit. How many agree? There's some things that are happening in the spirit realm the devil's about to become surprised about. But God's moving, amen? He's moving in our midst. He's moving in our world. But we're in this world. We're not of it. We're not to be like this world. We're to be different. We are to be different. And there was a time in church, you know, how many were raised in church? And there was a time and a season in church where we would come into church, and there were certain things we did and certain things we didn't do out of reverence. You know, we didn't let our kids run the stage, and we didn't, you know, there was just a few things that we did. You know, we prepared Saturday night, we prepared for Sunday morning. How many wore those lovely pink sponge curlers? I wore those. You had to sleep on them. I was having to find a soft spot where you could, like, sleep. You know, my mom laid out our clothes the night before. Our shoes were shined. We had those white patent leather shoes. And everything was to a T. We were dressed to a T. My dad wore a suit and tie. He was very particular. He wore Florsheim shoes. You guys, any of the guys remember Florsheim shoes? Very meticulous about how he appeared. It wasn't because he was egotistical. It was really about because he was doing it for the Lord. And you guys have seen my mom. You know how she is. I don't even have to explain her. She's very much, and she's probably watching, very much into looking nice. All those things were about representing excellence and coming into the presence of God, because we were coming to bring excellence to him. It was an offering of our lives. It was a sacrifice of praise. It was, if you will, it was a way of us presenting ourselves as a living sacrifice before him. We did those things not because we were all into ourselves, we weren't legalistic about it. We were doing it out of honor for God. We did it because we loved him, right? And we still do those things because we love him. And so, you know, I taught a couple weeks ago on multiplying God's power. How do we multiply God's power? His power is available. It's here for us. But it seems that we have had a lot of church services, not here, other places. But lots of churches going on all over the world, and there's lots of things that are happening in churches, and I'm not here to bash anybody, but there's been lots of things that I would say would not be conducive to revering and honoring the presence of God, would you say? I mean, we just had some pole dancer guy, when was that, a month ago or something, in a men's meeting in Missouri, and that was at a men's meeting, and there was lots of hoopla over that. I am appalled that was even allowed, but you know, supposedly the guy got set free. I don't want to get into all that, but yeah, I know. I'm like, okay, but there's some things that have happened in church services that have been allowed that have taken away from the presence and the reverence of God and the Holy Spirit. You know, I remember I was with a prayer team one time, and the presence of God was so heavy and so real. And it was Lynn Hammond. She was leading us, and she said, I don't want anybody to move. Because the Holy Spirit is like a dove. He'll come in, and then he'll just fly away really quickly if we're not reverencing and giving him the honor that he is due. She said, don't even blow your nose loudly. Just keep it reverential. You know, there's times for things. There's times. I know you got to blow your nose sometime, but there's times when presence of God comes in, and I don't know if y'all recognize it. And I want to teach this because I'm sure some of y'all are recognizing some things. But we're responsible to teach things and go over things to make sure. And then once you know, you're accountable for what you know. So listen up, because you're going to be accountable. But when we started singing "All Hail King Jesus," I'm almost, it's here right now. I almost couldn't stand. During that song, the anointing fell. During that time, my legs were shaking. I told Emma, I said, you're going to have to stand behind me from now on when we sing All Hail King Jesus, because I just couldn't hardly stand up. But the anointing was there for a purpose. When he shows up, it's for a reason. It's not just for us to get Holy Ghost goosebumps. He wants to do something in our midst. And, you know, one of the things that Pastor Steve and I have been praying about are that the gifts would be in operation in our midst. And we've been praying about the timing and, you know, having a little wildfire is better than no fire at all, right? And so I really believe that as we were led to pray and lay hands on different ones after, that was all a part of what God started in that song. Because what were we doing? We were acknowledging him. We were reverencing him. All hail, King Jesus. All hail, you know, the Lord, our God, Emmanuel. I love that song we just sang about the name of Jesus and that part where it says, you have no rival. You have no equal. Oh, I like to sing it with attitude. You have no rival. You have no equal. There is no one like you. And for me, having an attitude of reverence and having an atmosphere of reverence sets everything up for God to move. And that's where we're at right now. That's where this church is at right now. We are going to see an outbreak of the presence of God like never before. We have already. We've been seeing some things, but I believe we're getting ready to step up into some new things. And Pastor Steve always says, we're already seeing it. We just have to acknowledge it. And that's the thing. I want to just bring it to our attention. We need to acknowledge his presence and what we're feeling, what we're seeing in the spirit, and have an understanding. Don't just let it pass you by. Don't let it pass you by. And when we do this, when we have a reverence for his presence, what it does is it multiplies the power of God in the room. Every one of us are carriers of the glory of God. If you've been born again, you're a carrier of the glory and the grace of God. Every one of you have power residing within you. And the word says that if you lay hands on the sick, they shall recover. Not maybe, they shall recover. So there's an anointing when we lay hands on people. And I believe that it's all up to our faith. It's not up to our head. It's not up to you to try to figure it out. You can have faith in your heart and doubt in your head. But it's important that you hook up your heart, let your heart go towards what God's doing in the room and in the presence and at home. It doesn't have to just be here. It's everywhere. So I want to focus tonight, and I gave you these little sheets because I want you to follow along with me, because I want you to get this. This is important that we get this, all right? So there's a link between the miraculous flow and the reverential flow. There's a link between it. We can't have the miraculous without the reverential flow, okay? There is nothing irreverent in God. Nothing. There is no irreverence in God. Irreverence comes from the world, and we can see that plain and clear. I watched a little clip yesterday on Instagram of a teacher. She said, I hope this is disturbing to you. And what they did was they interviewed several college students. And I know this isn't all college students, but they interviewed several college students. I don't know where it was. I was just kind of quickly looking at it. And they were asking what their major was, what they were studying. Oh, my goodness. I never heard of some of these things. Identity, this and that, and all kinds of theology that was goofy and all kinds of things I've never heard of. And it was all about the woke stuff. I can't even put it into terms. And I know there's people out there, you know, we went to Cody's graduation and there's a whole bunch of people there that graduated with some amazing honors and some amazing degrees. But I'm thinking there's a whole world out there that's seeking after this irreverent way. And we are the ones who are the carriers to keep the reverence in the world. We are the reason why this world is not being demolished right now. The light in this world is the reason why. Just like Abraham, he cried out for the righteous. He said, God, if there's 10 righteous, will you not destroy them, keep them? And I believe that our presence here, the righteous presence, the righteous voice, is what is enabling God to move in this last day, in this last hour. And we have to contend for God's best in this time. We have to contend for the miraculous. We have to contend for the reverential fear of God. Amen? That's where wisdom begins. Amen? Okay, so we have to be a part of God's flow, which is reverence. I had us repeat the word reverence several times for a reason. So this is a statement that Dad Hagen, he's one of our fathers in faith, and I said this 2 weeks ago, I'm going to repeat it. But a statement that he made, he said, when reverence and honor are restored, there will be a restoration and a multiplication of the miraculous power of God. Restoration and multiplication of the miraculous power of God. To be partakers of heaven's supernatural flow, reverence has to be in place. And I truly believe that's why there are some churches that are stagnant right now. You can have smoke, you can have lights, you can have a lot of hoopla, a lot of things. And I'm not against and opposed to some things, but if your focus is all on the agendas and the flash and the craziness and how many parties you can have and how many guest speakers are coming in and all the things, then is our focus really on wanting and desiring to experience the presence of God? And I would say that's what we're wanting. We're wanting to experience the reverential presence of God. Amen? Amen. So we'll do whatever it takes to experience that, right? Okay. Yes. Amen. Okay, so the flow of the world is irreverent. It'll cost us signs. It'll cost us wonders. It'll cost us the miraculous if we don't hold on to the standard that calls for a reverential atmosphere. Amen? It calls for a certain attitude and a certain atmosphere. It's a standard that flows out of Him. It's a standard that flows out of God, out of His presence. Reverence turns us into receivers. When we are reverencing the presence of God, when we're reverential towards the presence of God, it creates an atmosphere for us. We're no longer thinking about ourselves. Have you noticed that? It's like Sunday when we got into that place, there was a shift. We weren't thinking about ourselves anymore. We were thinking about Him. And then out of that flow came a need to lay hands on people who needed something, who God had an impartation or a breakthrough or whatever it was that God had for. And if you didn't have hands laid on, you could still receive from the presence because there was such a heavy anointing in the room. You could just reach out and receive it where you were, right? You don't always have to have hands laid on. Amen. So we can receive from His presence. It makes us receivers. We're not just takers. We're not just thinking about ourselves. We're receiving from His presence. So greater flows require greater reverence. Greater flows require greater reverence. If we want to see more of the flowing of the Holy Spirit, then there has to be more of a focus on the presence, more of a, and this is all stuff that Pastor Steve has taught us from worship life, the beginning of our church, on all the way through. It's just, I'm just giving a few different terms to get us to focus on honor, reverence, the fear of the healthy fear of God, but His presence. Amen. So greater flows require greater reverence, and greater reverence will access greater flows. I don't know about you, but I don't want to be chewing gum on the front row and doing all kinds of goofy things and not and thinking about dinner and focusing on all the things that I have to do in the week. And my mind is not set on Him. And then something, He's trying to get something to me, and I'm just not even, He's always trying to speak to us. We're not just listening to Pastor Steve's words. I mean, we're listening attentively to what he's saying, but there's, the Holy Ghost is flowing. He'll tell me almost every time, he'll go home and say, that was just God, because I didn't have half of what I had there that I said. I don't know where that came from. It's just, there's a draw on the gift and the office, and there's a reverence for that. And when there's a reverence, it puts a draw on the anointing, and the anointing produces more. And the Holy Spirit can say things to you. Someone will come up to us afterwards and said, oh, I love it when you said da-da-da-da, and I'm like, I didn't say that, but okay. Because the Holy Spirit will speak to you, and I'm all about that. He is your teacher. We're just vessels obeying him and yielding our members to him and opening our mouth and saying, God, speak through me. Do say what you want to say. So that's a reverence if we will honor who's up here presenting and listening with our spirit, not just the cerebral, because this isn't going to take you anywhere. All this does is take you to criticism and judgment and issues. And if you'll listen from here, the Holy Spirit will take you where he wants you to go. I don't care who's up here. We had this gentleman that, I think he sang at Scott's wedding. We had it years ago. It's been, 30-some years ago. He had a little song he wanted to sing. It was that Stephen Curtis Chapman song. I can't remember what it's called. But anyway, he said, I got a little song I want to sing for you. And he sang it during the cake time, you know, the reception time. And we didn't do big meals and all that back then. And he didn't have a perfect voice. It wasn't really good. But the anointing was so heavy on him. And he sang with his heart. And there was so much passion and heart behind it. We were all crying. Not because it was bad, but because it was so anointed. And you had a room full of the Beermans who all sing right there. And it's like, wow, this man was pretty brave to sing, first of all, to come into a wedding and say, I've got this song that I want to sing for you. And it was so beautiful. And I loved it because everybody was so open to hearing from him. And he opened his mouth and sang with all of his heart. And it was just God. So that's, to me, that's the beauty of the anointing is, you know, it can just meet us right where we're at if our heart's right. Amen? Okay, so it's important that we're listening with our heart and we're listening for the anointing. We know the story in Mark 5 where they were offended at Jesus and he was amongst his own people. And it says that they dishonored him and there was such there wasn't any reverence for who he was. The reverence was absent. It says in the word, he could do no mighty work. Jesus himself could do no mighty work because they didn't honor and reverence who he was. Do you notice that the Pharisees and Sadducees, what did they do most of the time when Jesus, I thought about this today, most of the time when Jesus was teaching, what were they doing? Criticizing. They kept asking him questions. They kept judging him. Here the King of Kings is standing in front of him and they didn't even acknowledge who he was. They couldn't see it. They couldn't see who he was because the criticism and the judgment was in front of their eyes. There was no reverence for who he was in their life. See how important it is for us to follow our hearts and not our heads and to have reverence for the presence of God and to listen to our hearts, what he has to bring to us, no matter who's delivering. Amen? Praise God. So I want to tell you this story. I'm going to kind of skim over it real quick, but this is 1 Kings 10, 1 through 7. And this is the story of Queen Sheba. She had heard about Solomon and how many riches he had. Well, we'll skip through it. This is the Amplified Classic, and I'll just read through it really quick. When the Queen of Sheba heard of the constant connection of the fame of Solomon with the name of the Lord, she came to prove him with hard questions. She had some really difficult questions. She's the queen. And she had heard about his wisdom. So I'm going to come to him and see what he has to say about these things. She came to Jerusalem with a very great train. She had, you know, she's a queen, so she doesn't come alone. She comes with all kinds of people, all kinds of animals, all kinds of gifts. It was an entourage, right? She came with camels bearing spices, very much gold and precious stones. When she had come to Solomon, she communed with him all that was in her mind. Solomon answered all her questions. There was nothing hidden from the king which he failed to explain to her. When the Queen of Sheba had seen all of Solomon's wisdom. Wait a minute. When the Queen of Sheba had seen, she saw something that made her recognize there was wisdom and skill. The house he had built. She saw something in his house. She saw the food on his table. She saw the seating of his officials, how they sat down, how they carried themselves, their demeanor, the standing at attention of his servants. She noticed their apparel, what they were wearing. She noticed his cupbearers, his ascent by which he came up to the house of the Lord, how he carried himself in the house of the Lord. There was a reverence on him. She was breathless and overcome. Now, this is the Queen of Sheba. The Queen of Sheba had surely seen a whole lot of things in her lifetime that would cause her to go, ah, that's beautiful. Ah, that's amazing. Ah. But she was breathless at what Solomon had brought because of the excellence and the wisdom that came out of him because of the reverence that he had for the house of the Lord. Every one of his people were adorned a certain way. His tables were adorned a certain way. They were dressed a certain way. They presented themselves. They carried themselves a certain way. She said to the king, "It was a true report that I heard in my own land of your acts and sayings and wisdom. I didn't believe it until I came and I saw it and my eyes had seen. Behold, the half was not told to me. I only heard half of it. You have added wisdom and goodness exceeding the fame that I have heard." She was so flabbergasted at what she had seen. Queen of Sheba had questions, so she came to talk to Solomon over the hard questions. She needed to know some things. There wasn't one thing he couldn't answer. He gave her all the answers. Solomon asked God for an understanding heart so he would know how to treat his people, how to treat the people, and how we treat what is God's matters. Solomon knew it mattered. So he asked God, "How do I do this? I need wisdom." God didn't just give him wisdom. God gave him things he didn't ask for. He gave him riches, honor, and abundance. Why? Because Solomon asked for wisdom to know how to treat the people and how to take care of the house and how to build the house of the Lord. He cared about what God was. There was something he was putting into what God gave him to do. It was a reverence. It was an awe. It was an honor. He counted it a privilege. And he said, "God, give me wisdom to know how to do this because I can't do this in and of my own strength." And God not only gave him the wisdom, but he blessed him above and beyond because of what he asked for, because it meant so much to him, to God, that Solomon cared about his people. God's people matter. You matter. And how you're treated and how we treat each other matters to God. And because of that, God blessed Solomon. I love that. I think that is so precious. Solomon dressed those around him in the very best. They didn't look like slaves. They were dressed the best. God wants to satisfy our hearts with excellence. He wants his people to be blessed with the best. Queen of Sheba saw how things were done in excellence and reverence. Notice again in verse 4, she saw his wisdom. It was visible. It was tangible by what she saw in the people and how they carried themselves, how they represented themselves, their demeanor, their decorum, how they spoke to one another. You know, I saw Grace and her girls out the other night. I was at Marshall's. They came up. They scared me. They came up to me and scared me. But I love how her children, every time I speak to them, they always say, "Ma'am." They always speak to me with respect and honor. And that's taught. That's taught and caught. It's taught and caught. But I believe that it's important. We've taught our kids to say, "Yes, sir. No, sir. Yes, ma'am." And it's not just a Southern thing. We did it when we were in Ohio because I think it's important that they learn how to treat people with respect and honor. Now, they're not perfect. We're all working our way through life, but I believe those things are important. Amen? Amen. So I had somebody, who was it, said, "You don't have to call me. You don't have to call me sir. You don't have to call me." I said, "No, we have to do." No, it was Hayden. Hayden said, "Somebody told me you don't have to call me that." He said, "No, I have to. I have to. It's the way I've been trained." So she saw his wisdom. It was visible. It was tangible. They conducted themselves with honor and respect. They served Solomon. They served the dignitaries. They served the people. All of them were treated with respect and honor. In verse 5, She saw reverence in his wisdom and excellence. She saw reverence can be seen. Reverence can be experienced. Reverence can be felt. She was breathless and had only ever seen or experienced the best. Jesus himself was born to be a king. We know that. He was born as a king, and there's a scripture that talks about when he was sacrificed that he wore a seamless robe. Do you guys, have you ever studied up on what a seamless robe is? I don't know, maybe you have, coming out of Catholicism, I think there's a little bit of some studying on that. But a seamless robe is just that. It has no seams. It's one piece, and it's very, very expensive. He wore that robe for part of the time, and then they cast lots for it because it was very expensive. It wasn't just that they were mocking him. He wore a robe, a royal robe, on his way to Golgotha to give his life for us. It was costly. They cast lots. It was the very best. So back to Queen Sheba. She saw his standard for life. She saw Solomon's standard for life. Our reverence for God will set our standard. It's a standard that we have. What kind of standard do you have in your life for the things of the Spirit, for the things of God, for your time in the Word, for your time in prayer? What kind of standard do you have set in your life for that? The world doesn't know how to reverence God. We have to set the standard for living. We don't wait on God to do it. God doesn't do it for us. We set the standard for our living. Abundance is all around God. I'm trying to skip through because we don't have a lot of time. Abundance is all around God. So abundance should be all around us. But abundance comes with reverence. Amen. Do you believe that? An abundance of the life of God will produce an abundance of excellence around you. An abundance of the life of God will produce an abundance of excellence around you. So what do I mean by that? We're carriers of the life of God. Are we bringing glory to the life of God within us by what we're meditating on, by what we're talking about, by how we're treating others, by what we're focusing on? Is that abundant life in us bringing reverence to our lives at home? It starts at home. If you look back at 1 Kings 10, 6 through 8, she said to the king, "It was a true report I heard in my own land of your acts and saying and wisdom. I did not believe it till I came and my eyes had seen. Behold, the half was not told me. You have added wisdom and goodness, exceeding the fame I heard. Happy are your men." Wisdom and goodness brings happiness. People can be thoroughly, thoroughly happy when they're enjoying the presence of God and there's reverence there. I think we left here happy Sunday, didn't we? Yeah. "Happy are these, your servants, who stand continually before you, hearing your wisdom." You know, Jesus said in John 10:10, he said, "The thief comes in order to steal, kill, and destroy. But I've come that you might have and enjoy life and have it," how? "Abundantly, to the full, till it overflows." Are we living an abundant life? Are we enjoying the life of God abundantly? If we aren't, then maybe we need to make some adjustments with how we're reverencing and how we're honoring God in our lives. Because an abundance of the life of God will produce abundance around you. Now, I'm going to hit on a couple things here about money. Just because, you know, I thought about it, you know, that whole story about Queen of Sheba, that was all about increase in her life. And in Solomon, there was so much increase all around them. Abundance was all around them. But it's because they were reverencing God. There was wisdom. Wisdom took them to a place of reverencing and honoring God. They knew where their help came from. They knew that God was the one that was providing those great things for them. And they didn't forget it. And then they shared it with others. You know, we work 40 hours or more a week for what? An income. The money that comes to us. And money doesn't draw excellence to us. Excellence draws money. If you think just if you have a bunch of money that you are going to live an excellent life, I know people who have lots of money and don't live an excellent life. You probably do too. But excellence draws money. When you become excellent in your ways, it'll draw prosperity to you. God will fund excellence. That's why it's so important with our church that we want to do everything in excellence. How we treat people. Pastor Steve is very particular about how the church is cleaned, how the windows are done. All that is a representation of honoring God, reverencing God. We're not trying to be weird. We just think it's a representation of who he is in our life, right? And so we want to do things excellently. Reverencing God will elevate us. What we allow in our thought life, what we say to others, what we allow ourselves to act like, that is a part of reverencing God. If we are misrepresenting who God is in our life by the way we treat our spouse, by the way we treat our kids, by the way we treat our dog, by the way we treat people on the street, by the way we maybe yell at people when we're driving, stepping on toes, by the way we, you know, don't pay taxes. I don't know. There's lots of things. There's lots of areas that we can, it's not reverencing God. It's not showing honor to God because we're to be top citizens. We're to do things the right way, right? And so that's a way of us reverencing God. Are you with me? It's a way we elevate who God is in our life. We take the cart back when we go to the store. How many take the cart back? Yeah, most of us. Take that cart back. All the way. Well, at least put it in the cart holder. There's lots of things. When clothes fall off the rack, you know, it's important that we pick stuff up. We don't just set something. You change your mind about something. Braden will do this. He'll just set it down. Can I have this? Nope. And he'll set it down. Don't put that there. You take it back where you got it. You have to put things back. We need to be people of excellence. We need to do things right. Right? We don't need to have attitudes towards people. Because who are we hosting on the inside? Who are we hosting? There's a response to whom we carry on the inside. What we permit to think on, I said this, what we speak, how we treat one another. It represents who's living on the inside of us. And if we're allowing the King of Kings to really live on the inside, then there should be evidence. And if we're not allowing the King of Kings to rule and reign, then our flesh is ruling and reigning, right? They're either seeing your flesh or they're seeing your spirit man rising up. And I believe that it's important for this day and hour for us to shine like Jesus. You know, we're to be called the light on a hill, Liberty Hill. We're the light on the hill, a light that can't be hidden. And how can we be a light if we're barking at people and mad at people and leaving our cart behind so that it can hit somebody's car and all those things. So, all right. I'm stepping on toes. So we don't live under regrets. If this has been you in the past, today's a new day. It's okay. We live with reverence for God and his presence, and it sets a new standard in our life. These are the standards we live by. How many have heard that song? Who sang that? These are the basics of life. Oh, na, na, na. Love that is, I can't remember the words now. Faith that is grounded. Fervent in Christ, a hope that endures for all times. These are the basics. Anyway, go listen to that song. These are the basics of life. I thought, man, that was such a great song. I think it was popular in the 80s or 90s. But the words, you got it? It's for him. Do you have the words? Do you have the word lyrics? Can you bring it to me real quick? It's amazing to me. I'm listening to the song. Every so often, I like to bring up all the old songs, you know, the old 80s Christian music. Do you guys listen to 80s Christian music sometimes? Am I the only one? All right, y'all. The newest rage is to reason it out. Just meditate, and you can overcome every doubt. After all, man is a God. They say God is no longer alive. But I still believe in the old rugged cross. I still believe there's hope for the lost. And I know the rock of all ages will stand through changes of time. We need to get back to the basics of life. A heart that is pure and a love that is blind. A faith that is fervently grounded in Christ. The hope that endures for all times. These are the basics. We need to get back to the basics of life. Anyway, those words are powerful. We think we need to reason it out. No, we need to get back to loving people and loving God. Amen? That's the basics of life. And so like Joshua, he said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. He made a decision to lead his family. He said, this is the way it's going to be. He set a standard for his family. How many have set that standard for your family? As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Now, our people have wills, and they do their own little things once in a while. But the standard set in our home, and I had it above my door for a long time, is as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And my children will serve God. They will serve God. That's the declaration that I know we all have over our children, right? It's a standard that we've set. It's a standard that they will live by. Now, the word says, train them up in the way they should go. And when they're old, they'll not depart. There might be a little deviation here and there, but they'll come back, right? That's the promise that we have. Amen. Praise God. Okay, so Queen of Sheba saw Solomon's excellence. She brought an abundance to Solomon because of his standard of excellence. She brought all that she brought, the riches that she brought. Do you think Solomon needed any of that? Nope. He didn't need a drop. But she saw something that she was drawn to. She saw prosperity in his life. She said, I want to be part of this. There's something about hooking up with this guy, and she wanted to hook up with his standard. She wanted to hook up with his standard, his way of living, his excellence, his wisdom, his reverence for God. We live by a different standard. Jesus is our standard. God is our standard. He sets our standard. There's an abundance about God. Every time I read about heaven, I don't hear anything about heaven drawn back. I hear about streets of gold. I hear about lots of things where there's an abundant supply. And I believe God wants us to have an abundant supply. If he's all about abundance, then we should all be all about abundance. Amen? We're not to live in lack. We're to live in abundance. Amen? And so that abundance comes in and through once we get some other things corrected in our lives, I believe. You know, I think I told this story one time. We were driving an old red, I'll tell it real quick, red van. It was a Ford Aerostar. Is that what it was? I hated that van with a passion. The reason why I hated that van was because we were in an interim time in our life, and we had to have two vehicles, so we had to get rid of my big fancy van that I had to get down to these other two vehicles that we needed. And I felt like we had compromised. How many have ever compromised and then just regretted it? You just knew you regretted it. You knew you compromised. So, and it did its job for a little while. So anyway, it was a stick shift. I drove a stick shift with three babies. Yes. Throwing a bottle in one's mouth back there. And this was before babies' chairs and all that, car seats. But anyway, so the ball on the stick shift would come off periodically while I was shifting. And one time I had plastic jammed in it and just shoved it down in there. And I went to shift the gear. I'm a pretty good standard driver. Shift the gear, and the ball went flying in the back. And I'm like, Hayden, get the ball. Bring me the ball so I can shift the car. Because the stick shift was like just a little bitty stick. It wasn't like a big anything. It was a little bitty thing. So I had to have that ball, and brought me the ball. I was complaining one day about that car, and I just told God, I hate this car. I hate it with a passion. I want a new one. And he said, until you are grateful and thankful for what you have, you need to clean it up and be grateful, and then we'll talk about getting you a new one. So, guess what I did? I cleaned it up. I shoved in some more plastic into that ball so it wouldn't fall off every time I would shift gears, and I got grateful for that van, and I actually kind of liked it. It was like an adjustment on my heart. I was like, okay, I can live with it for a little while. And then right about then, Marilyn Hickey, you guys know who Marilyn Hickey is, came to our church. This is October of 2009. No. Before that. Anyway. Whenever it was. 1990-something. Anyways, I'm not that old. Anyways, so she said, if you're believing God, everyone here that's believing God for a house, we were renting a house, and believing for a car. And what was the other thing? It was like three things. I don't know. We are believing for all of it. Stand to your feet. Well, the whole church stood up. We were all like, yes, God, we need a new car. We need a new house. So we stood up. And, you know, you're thinking in your head, yeah, right. You know, I was. My heart was hooked up, but my head sure was shouting. It was your faith. How many have had that happen? Your heart is like, yes, God, and your head is going, I don't know how this is going to happen, but okay, I'll go with it. Hey, just keep your heart hooked up. Tell your head to shut up. I'm serious, because it's with the heart man believes, right? So I went with it, and long story short, we had some people take us out, and my husband's car was worse than mine. He had an old stick shift truck, two-seater, what was that thing, a Nissan? I don't know. We've had a few of those. Oh, camper shell that we never used. So, yeah, we did all kinds of stuff. Anyways, this man takes us out. He says, I want to take you out to dinner. They took us out to a country club for dinner. We'd never, I don't think we'd been to their country club. And we were like, wow. You know, he was one of the board members of the church and owned a company and all the things. And we didn't have any clue. He says, well, the Lord told me to bless you guys, and he hands us a check. He said, you guys need a new car. I was like, yeah, I do need a new car. I need a new car. He handed us a check. And back then, this was big. He handed us a $15,000 check. And I was like, praise. That's a lot now, yeah. But back then, it was really a lot. So I was like hooping and hollering on the inside, like, yes. Get my car, get my new van. So we went and bought a brand new Silhouette van. Anyways, then soon after, was that the other one was after? Then we had a family come to us and say, we want to help you get into a house. We're going to pay all your closing fees. We're going to pay your down payment and your closing fees to get into a house. It was like $5,000 at the time, I think, right? Five or 10, I don't remember. Anyway, it all happened. And the prayer was by the end of the year. Guess what day we closed on our house? December 31st. You got it. And so I said all that to tell you guys. Why would I tell you all that? Because I believe that when we honor and respect and revere what God's given us, you may not have the house that you want. I don't. It's the new one's coming. You may not have the car you want. You may not have, you know, maybe you're believing God for a spouse. I don't know what it is that you're believing God for. Not if you're already married, but the ones who are not. Can't have a new one if you already got one. But if you're believing God for something and you're complaining, complain and remain, praise and be raised. But that's part of revering. That's part of reverencing what God has given you. And if you've got a car and you don't like it, clean it up. Don't drive that thing dirty. Somebody gave me a ride, no one here. One time I got in their car and I was like, I don't think I could touch anything. It was so dirty, I was scared to sit down. It was really scary. If your car is that scary, that is not excellence, and that is not showing reverence for what God has given you. Because it's not just about you, it's about what God's doing in you. And that's a signal of how you're honoring God and what he's doing in your life. It's like, are you really thankful for what he's providing for you? Is your house, and I'm working on this one, I'm purging my house right now. Clean up your house. We've got years and years of stuff from kids and me and all kinds of things. And it just takes time, you know, when you're busy. But I'm not using an excuse, I'm just saying we've got to revere and honor what God's given us by taking care of what he's given us, right? That's part of reverencing him. I know this is like menial, small things, but these are really important things. And when you start doing this, I'm telling you, you're going to see a change in your life. You're going to see an abundance break out. You're not going to see that abundance break out until you start dealing with the little things. And so, like, you know, we've told our worship team, there's a certain way we've asked everyone to dress because we want to represent God well. We don't want to come in here and have all things flying and, you know, that doesn't represent God. We want to do things in excellence. We don't want to be a distraction, right? We want the focus to be on him, not on us, right? Okay, so where was I? When I sow in front of me, When I sow S-O-W in front of me, it gives me faith to receive like they do. That's what Sheba did. That's what the Queen of Sheba. She sowed what was in front of her. She said, I'm going to be a part of this. I'm going to sow into this. When I sow that direction, I'll go that direction. When I sow that direction, I'll go that direction. We like to sow into ministries where they're going somewhere and they're doing some things and they're blessing people. And that's a part of what we, where our tithe goes for the church. Because we believe in what God's doing and where they're going, we're going. I'm going to have some of that in my life, some of that blessing in my life. Amen. So money doesn't draw excellence. Excellence draws money. You got it? God will fund excellence. Wisdom manifests as reverence. Wisdom will manifest as reverence. Reverencing, that's supposed to be reverencing, not referencing. Reverencing God will elevate us, what we allow in our thought life, what we say. I've already told you that. Let's see, where am I? Way down. I already did all that. Okay. All right. We're almost done. Excellence draws prosperity. God is a multiplier. He multiplies what we have. If you have a mess, do you want it multiplied in your life? No, that's a big no. You want excellence to be multiplied in your life, right? Is the standard, now this one came to me when I was writing this down, is the standard you're giving out from, you're serving out from, you're living out from, is it the level you want God to multiply back to you? How you're serving, how you're giving, how you're living, is that the level you want to be multiplied back to you? Because everything you do is seed. It's being sown. And so whatever you're sowing, that's what you're going to reap back. So when I treat my husband a certain way, that's what I'm going to get back. When I sow financially, that's what I get back, right? Above and beyond what I could ask or think. Am I serving with an attitude? Then I'm going to get that back. No, we need to do everything in excellence, right? It is the standard you're giving out from is that, oh, I read that. Don't wait to sow excellence to get it back. Sow excellence now. Every arena in life should be a flow of excellence. It's an act of sowing and reaping your best that receives God's best. An act of sowing and reaping your best. Bring your best. That's wisdom. That's reverence towards God. He's worthy of our best. He's worthy of our best. You only reap what you sow. So you sow your best and you reap his best. You are authorized to raise the standard in your life. Don't wait on God. He's not going to do it for you. Oh, goodness. And he's worthy of our best. I said it again. I'll close with this. Someone texted me today with an issue, something that had come their way that had been just a detrimental thing. And it could have really been depressing and frustrating. And I said, you know what? How about you turn this around and utilize this frustration and just tell the devil, you can't have me. I'm not gonna receive this. I'm not gonna get down with this situation. I'm not gonna let it have me. And they went out and wrote me back and said some amazing thing happened that day and turned the situation completely around. I think Pastor Steve had said this one time. Let your stumbling blocks become stepping stones, right? Is that how it goes? Let your stumbling blocks become stepping stones. And it's a way of reverencing and honoring God out of your life because he's dwelling on the inside. You're hosting him on the inside of you. And so when those things that come to try to cause despair and frustration and depression and frustration, if you'll turn that thing around and say, God, here's another chance to prove yourself in me. I'm going to let you turn this around. What the enemy meant for evil, God's going to turn it around for good, Casey. And there's going to be a testimony from it. And so, and then I'm going to give glory to God this way. That's how I reverence him. That's how I give him glory and I give him honor in and through my life. Our life should be a testimony of his goodness. Amen.